Brother Shepherd. All right. Amen. You open your Bibles, if you would, please. The 34th Psalm, and we'll pray. I won't leave you standing long. I would say this. Brother Williamson was preaching there at the end. He was talking about wives obeying their husbands and their boss men. And my wife looked over at me and she said, "Which do I obey best, my boss or my husband?" I said to her, "In my opinion, you don't reverence either one of them too well." And I got hit or kicked or something. I'm not real sure. Amen. And somebody said to me, said, "You've been married 10 and a half years. I said, "Painful memories, how they linger." But I'm only kidding about that. I do want to tell you that I love my wife. And since the last time I was here, I got married. And Miss Christie's been a real help, a real blessing. Now, we pick on each other. We love each other. Don't y'all fret and worry. She gets me back. A little laughter don't do no harm. I might do a little bit too much humor for you, but I have decided something. Something used to bother me. Something used to bother me about my humor. I thought, well, maybe I do it too much. But I've decided that I am what I am by the grace of God. Amen. Don't leave you standing too long, but I want to say it's good to have these folk from Grandview, Indiana with us. Brother Max Talbert and his wife. He said, "Man, she's scared all the way down." He said, "She didn't speak. I never rode with you, brother." But I'm brother, I'm not, I don't say nothing to defend you. I love you. I'm so glad you're here. Did y'all see how tall this guy is? I am glad he likes what I preach on the radio. If he came in here and said, "I didn't like you," I'd say, "My name is Farrell Shepherd." And, I say my name's Steve Vincent. That's what I do. But anyway, amen. And, anyway, I just picked some name. Amen. I don't know, I might say my name's Brother Hall. He can find his way out of anything. Amen. But I'm so glad these folk drove down here from, I don't know exactly how far Grandview is, but that's a fair piece from here, a little bit. And I'm glad to have you here in the service. I know the preacher is. And man, I'm glad to be back at Island Ford. And Brother Shepherd's been my friend for many years. Many of you folk here at Island Ford probably don't realize that. But many of them come out of the same county. We was the two most intelligent men in Wilkes County. And since we've left, the county's gone down quite considerably. Amen. But I appreciate Brother Shepherd, Miss Shepherd. They've been my friends for many, many years. And then Brother Hall, man, he's just been my friend for many, many years. I came here as a kid preacher, and he put me up here in the pulpit. I heard him tell Miss Ruth, "Go back there and put him on the radio." As I thought, my land, what in the world? I was scared to death, and I'm still scared about it, but I'm glad to be here today. All right, Psalm 34, we're going to read, we're going to pray, and I'll let you be seated. I know that it's said, Brother Williamson did a great job, amen. By the way, great, 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 amen. I like everything he said, I like it, amen. Don't, it didn't bother me, amen. Didn't bother me, amen. All right, Psalm 34, verse 3, please. Psalm 34, verse 3, if you're visiting or you are not familiar with me, this is King James. I just have it printed out where I can read it, so don't get excited about it. All right. And if we're on the radio, right? We're on the radio. So I welcome those of you listening by way of radio. Amen. Psalm 34, verse 3 says, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together." Amen. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, now, I've been doing this for a long time, and I realize and am well aware this morning that if you don't help me, I can't do this. And Lord, I'm like Moses. I don't want to do it if you ain't going to go with me this morning. And God, I know when you save me, you live on the inside, but I want your presence on me. And I'm like the pastor said this morning, I want to meet with you. For a little while this morning, in Jesus' holy name, amen, you can be seated. I probably worry about things too much, so I'm not going to worry about time. Josh Owens called me last night from over here, and he goes to Brother Massengill's church, and he called me, and Josh's a radio man, so I asked him a question. I said, "Josh, you've been listening to the marathon," and I said, "You know, I'm just the way I am." I said, "Did it appear like that I was trying to take over anything?" I said, "I wouldn't want to have that appearance. And if it did, I apologize. I just get ahead of myself." You know what he told me? He said, "You're just Ricky Cothran being Ricky Cothran." That's what he said. So I still don't know what that meant. Amen. But anyhow, well, I want to share some scripture with you this morning. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. That's what I want to preach on. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Amen. Now, I know a little bit of something about magnification. I use magnifiers everywhere I go. I have one on my phone. It don't work too well, but I've got it on there. I have a machine in my office. I have one at the house. They're rather expensive. You can put a book under them and put it up on the screen, and it magnifies. It makes things bigger. Now, I don't understand, Brother Hall, how a holy God would write in His Bible that men could magnify Him. Because He's already great. But God said that we can magnify Him on earth. In other words, we can make Him bigger, or make Him greater, or make Him, my friend, to this world worth seeing. Amen? And so I want to magnify the Lord. How about you? I want to make Him bigger to those around me. I have a radio audience of, and I don't know how many, of millions of people every day that I reach on radio. And I thank God for it. Amen? I do. But the goal is not to make a name for Ricky Cothran. It doesn't matter if anybody knows me or not. I went in the Cracker Barrel the other day and a man said to me, "Are you Ricky Cothran?" I said, "Yes, I am." "How do you know who I am?" I don't like to if people know who I am. Amen? And I never give out on the radio where I live. You don't know where I live. Amen? Everybody thinks I live in Dobson, North Carolina. You say, "Do you?" Well, come and see. But anyway, that's what I give out on the radio. And so here's the deal. But here's the deal. That man said, "I knew your voice." Well, it's not me. But I want to magnify Jesus.
Amen.
I want to uplift Him. I want to make Him greater, make Him bigger to those around me. Don't you? Now this morning I'm not going to give you a deep theological sermon. I could get deep in the Bible, I believe, if I needed to. But I don't want to do that. I just want to give you something simple. I pray 10 prayers before I ever preach any sermon. And one of the prayers I pray is, "Lord, make the sermon simple to the people that is listening." Amen. Now one man said, he said this morning, he said, "Brother, you talk faster than Brother Shepherd. You ought to meet my pastor, sir."
Amen.
When he dies, it'd take 3 days to beat his tongue to death. Amen. I'll say that if he's here. He wouldn't get mad at me. But he can get on with it, boy. I mean, good night. But anyway, you're sitting there thinking, "Huh, what'd he say? Do what?" But I want to give you what's called an acrostic. Now don't get excited. I don't know what time it is. I know the word magnifies 7 letters. But I may not use all of these. If I don't, I'll just give them to you. My outline's not important. What is important is the message of the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Amen.
So let me help you about magnifying the Lord this morning. Number one, I want to say to you, we'll take the eom right there. The way you magnify the Lord is my friend, making a joyful noise to Him.
Amen.
We've been magnifying Him this morning in song.
Right.
Here we're right along what Brother Williamson was talking about worship. You know that word worship, really, if you study that word, it really means like a dog would come up and lick his master and be glad to see him. Now you that have dogs, will you not get mad at me if I say so? I don't like dogs. I don't like red dogs, black dogs, blue dogs, white dogs. I don't like big dogs. I don't like little dogs. And I definitely don't like to get out of a car and a dog come up and lick me and about knock me down. I just don't like that. Matter of fact, I wrote a song about dogs. No dogs, no dogs in heaven. Their sins cannot be forgiven. Amen. But I just don't like them. But don't get mad at me if you've got a dog. Amen. Everybody's got these little dogs in their house. These little bitty dogs, no bigger than a weenie, you know. And, "Oh, that dog won't bite you, preacher." That dog bites you worse than a pit bull if he get a hold of you. Amen. But I'm not mad at that. But anyway, what I'm simply telling you is, I'm not mad at you about that. But what I'm trying to say is this. That dog, a dog is loyal. Now, a cat's not really loyal, but a dog is loyal to his master.
Yes, sir.
Did you know I want to be loyal to my Savior, don't you? I want to magnify Him. I want to make a joyful noise to Him. Amen. I like that song. Matter of fact, I preached a sermon the other day on that song. "Count your many blessings. Name them one by one. And it will surprise you what the Lord has done." Here's a leading that song a while ago, "I'm Bound for the Promised Land." And I got kind of excited sitting over here. Now, I like what Brother Williamson said. Hollering and all that, ain't nothing wrong with that. That's praising the Lord. But worshiping God is bowing before Him and reverencing Him. But listen, the Bible said we ought to magnify Him. And one way to do that is make a joyful noise.
Amen.
He said in Psalm 100, verse number 1, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. God said, in other words, if I got my way about it, I want every country, every nation, every kindred to praise the Lord. About 2 years ago, for Christmas, my wife got me a shortwave radio. Now, I like gadgets and things like that, you know. And so I turned that radio on in that big old house over there in Mississippi. I call that the Mississippi White House. You know, I'm the president of gospel broadcasting, so when I go south, I have to have another White House. That's my White House down there. And my followers, they got this great big old house, and they give me this big room just to myself, really. And while Christy's visiting with her family, I get up there in that big room, just have me a time. And I got up there, and I got that shortwave radio, and I turned it on. And I got a station out of Africa somewhere. And brother, I could not understand the song they were singing, but it was one of God's songs. And I tell you, they were worshiping God over there in Africa on the shortwave. And you know what I thought about? I thought about that verse of Scripture, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. They wasn't in America, they were in Africa, but they were singing to the same God. They were magnifying the same God that we have here. Let's just make Him big this morning. You know what we need to do? We need to get real little, let God get real big.
Amen.
It's not about you and me, it's about Him.
Right.
Some dummy wrote a song, said, me and Jesus got our own thing going. No, friend, He's got His going. I'm just a little part of it. Amen.
Amen.
Don't let that bother y'all, because I undid that. If I hadn't undid that, there'd been an explosion. Amen. I tell you this morning, friend, magnify. Now, number two, let me give you this one. Did you know another way you magnify the Lord, taking the A, sometimes is by affliction. Now, we don't like magnifying the Lord that way, do we? You see, we've been listening to much of this health and wealth, prosperity, Christianity, that if you live for God, everything's going to be all right. That's not what the Bible said. That Lazarus was sick unto death, he died. There is sickness in the Bible, amen? And listen, these old bodies, brother, last week I was sick as a mule if a mule gets sick. I don't know if I've ever been that sick or not. I'll be honest with you, I don't know. I told my wife, I said, I believe I'm dying. You ain't dying. Amen. But I tell you the truth, I'm sick as a... I mean, you know what? These bodies get sick. But you know what? Sometimes God allows affliction. Now, sometimes it's brought on. But sometimes God allows affliction in our lives to magnify the Lord. We don't understand our health problems. If I had my way about it, good men like Brother Hall, they wouldn't have health problems like he's got. No, if I was God, I wouldn't do that. But see, that's the way God does. God knows everything. If I was God, I probably wouldn't be born blind, because I don't know, the older I get, the more I'm wanting to drive a car. I never have. I don't know, every day I live, I want to drive more and more. Amen? But anyhow, you know what the deal is? I can magnify the Lord with my eyesight. My eyesight don't bother me. When I fall down steps, I sit in people's laps, I prayed when I ain't supposed to. I think I might, Brother Hall, preached a time or two when I wasn't called on. I don't know. I have done a little bit of everything. Amen. I went to a church one night. There's a well-known evangelist. Well, it's my home church. And I was up on the platform there. He hollered at me when I come off the platform. I turned around to see what he wanted. I went and sat down. And I looked and I seen the man on this side had moved up about two rows. And I sat there thinking, why did he move? What did he switch seats for? And they started to take the offering. All this new money looks alike to me. And I want to be generous, but I don't want to be over-generous. Amen? And I looked at my wife, and I said, this is a 20, ain't it? She said, yes, sir, but I'm not your wife. She's sitting four rows behind you. I was sitting with Dr. Ronnie Simpson's daughter-in-law. Amen? You say, what did you do? I did the same thing you would do. I lied, made it like my cell phone was ringing, got up and left. Amen? But threatened to leave the church, and I so help me, amen. And brother, they called me down to her husband's a pastor. He called me to preach at his church. I went down there, and her and Christy had the same color clothes on. I said, "You get near, I'll kill you," amen. But here's the deal: did you know sometimes we buy affliction, and hey, I've used my eyesight for the glory of God. It gets me places you couldn't go. My wife said, you can say anything to anybody, they don't get mad. I said, Christy, there's nobody going to hit an old gray-headed blind man. Amen? But I'm telling you this morning, friend, you may have some affliction, and you may not like it, but you can use it for the glory of God, and you can do anything God tells you to do. Brother Wilson was talking about maybe not being able to read as good. I can't do that either, and I let it bother me sometimes. We got a little boy in our church. He's 19 years old. His name's Jonah. And Jonah announced his call to preach 2 years ago. They had a 5-week revival under a tent, seen 200 people get saved. And about 4 preachers got called to preach, and they're still having a good time with that revival. And that young man got called to preach in that revival. And they'll call on old Jonah to pray, and he'll go, that's the way he stutters. And it's been bothering old Jonah. And I got him, and I said, come here, boy. And I said, I'll tell you something, son. I said, I have eye problems, and I have been made fun of, and I've been turned down for churches, I feel like, sometimes because of my eyesight. And even when I pastored, people thought I told them, I said, man, they said, preacher, you know everything. How do you know what's going on? I said, sir, I'm blind, not dumb, amen? You know, they get that mixed up, you know. But I told that little boy, I said, don't you let that affliction bother you. Magnify the Lord with it. Use it to magnify the Lord with. Amen. And listen, if you've got an affliction, let me give you a verse of Scripture. Psalm 34:19, the same psalm here. The Bible said, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him, what? Out of them all. Amen. You say, well, God delivered my loved one out of affliction. He took them home. Yeah, he did. They got delivered.
Right.
My mama had Alzheimer's, had 2 heart attacks. Buddy, that last one took her out of here. God wasn't unjust about that. He just took her home.
Right.
That's all right. Praise God. And we began to sing about that a while ago, about being in the Father's house. And I know where she is. Amen.
Amen.
You know, I had a phone call the other day. People's mean sometimes. You better watch what you need to watch what you say. You know, I had a phone call the other day, and one of the members of my family, one of my uncles, said to me, and I love him, but he hurt my feelings a little bit. He said, you know, Ricky, you just forgot your mom and your daddy over there in that graveyard. My mom and daddy ain't there.
Right.
That's like the story of William Pease, amen?
Right.
It says here, this is the tombstone of William Pease. The peas are not here. This is just the pod. The peas have been shelled out, and they're going to be with God, amen?
Right.
But here's the deal. I mean, listen, some people say, well, God didn't do me fair because He took my son or took my daughter. Can I tell you, God always does right in affliction, and God's always right. And many, 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 many times, affliction is to magnify the Lord.
Amen.
You ever thought about this? Now, by the way, I do believe God can heal people.
Yes.
But have you ever thought about the reason we have so much of this hoopla about healing today is because the devil knows that God gets glory out of affliction, and he raises some of these people up to go all over the country saying they can heal everything from a headache to a nosebleed. Well, I've never healed anybody.
Right.
But I know one that can. Now, God can do that if it's His will. But let me tell you, sometimes it is His will. But sometimes the best people that I know suffer for the cause of Christ.
Yes.
I think of a dear lady right now, Brother Shepherd knows who I'm talking about. Brother Shepherd, you remember Brother Marvin Blackburn's wife, Miss Betty.
Yes,
Miss Betty is one of the finest saints of God you'll ever meet in this world. I have never, Miss Betty's been saved for probably 70 years, I don't know, but I've never heard a harm word about Miss Betty.
Right.
And she's got crippling arthritis. She's a piano player. And her hands are drawn. She can't shake your hand hardly.
Right.
But you know what, buddy? She came to our church not long ago when I was pastoring. Brother Marvin was the last preacher that preached there before I left.
Yeah.
And she'd come back, and man, she's right there with him, just faithful as she can be. Hey, I'm telling you, sometimes you can make God bigger by your affliction. Amen.
That's right.
Let me hurry along. Number 3. I ain't trying to hurry too much. But number 3, when I get done here, I'll just quit. I'll unhook. I promise I will. Amen. Number 3, you can magnify the Lord by giving Him thanks.
That's right.
I'm going to prove that to you by the Bible. Psalm 69, verse number 30. I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify Him with thanksgiving. The word magnify is found 19 times in the Bible. In other words, the psalmist said, I'm going to make Him bigger by giving Him thanks.
Amen.
Do we really thank God for what He does for us?
Right.
You know, God's been good to me.
Good
night. I'm going to tell you what. I guess last time I was here, 16 years ago. Did you know, since I've been here, last God's allowed us, our ministry, we own 2 radio stations, 2 internet streams, cable TV channel, get ready to get 4 more cable TVs and 2 more translators, and then I got to talk to Steve Vincent. Steve, you around here somewhere, I need to talk to you after service anyway. I have had something come up last night. Brother Shepherd, it'll blow your gizzard out when you find out what I'm getting ready to do. Something happened over in the hotel room, and it's good, it's good, it's good, it's good. Concerning our radio ministry, in other words, pardon my English, it's plum good, amen. And you'll like, it'll get you excited. You'll want to live in North Carolina half the time and Kentucky half the time. But I'm telling you, God's God's got might be getting ready to do something, amen. But I want to run something, Brother Steve, after a while. Hey! But now I got y'all's curiosity up. But here's the deal. What I'm trying to tell you is this. You magnify the Lord by giving Him thanks. I just thank God for all He's done in my life.
Amen. Amen.
You know, financially, God's been good to me. I don't have a whole lot of money. But you know, I'll be honest with you, I probably don't live like some people. God's been good to me. He supplied my needs, bought a new car in 2013, paid that thing off not long ago. I mean, God's just been good to me and Christy. This past year, we didn't know where we was going to live, didn't know where we was going to move to. And praise God, there was a man standing right there to help us. Matter of fact, Brother Shepherd's son works for that man. We put that together yesterday and found it out. Small world. And that man's helped me. I'm telling you, God's always got somebody around. And I just thank God for what God has done. It ain't nothing I've done, but we magnify Him by thanking Him today. Amen.
Right. Amen.
I never thought God would take me out of North Carolina and use me on radio like He has going all over the country. It ain't me, but I just thank God.
Right.
Well, listen, how God supplied the needs.
Yeah.
You say, well, preacher, what are you talking about? Well, the other day, praise God, I asked how we was doing one of these marathons. I bowed my head. I said, dear God, You said you own the cattle of 1,000 hills. I said, don't you think it's about time you sell one of them cows and give us some money? I don't know what cows sell for, but in 2 minutes, there's $1,000 come through.
Amen.
I preached that and used that illustration in a message the other day on Count Your Many Blessings. I aired on the radio, and the other day there's a letter come in the mail, and a lady said, dear preacher, I felt like it's about time that God killed another one of them cows. Said, here's another $1,000. I'm about to walk on the water, boy. I'm telling you, it ain't me. It's God that will supply your every need. Amen. Who you think's kept WSOF on the radio all these years? You say, well, Brother Hall did that. No, he didn't. He don't have that kind of money. I don't have that kind of money. It's Brother Shepherd. No, it ain't. It's God, brother. I say here yesterday, and Brother Steve gave me a little history lesson, which I knew part of the history of WSOF, and I put more of it together yesterday, and I appreciate you enlightening me on that, because I knew part of the history. I knew some men was involved with the station years ago. Did you know WSOF's been through the fire and the flood? And brother, I mean guts and blood and tears been shed for that station. This station, it's a miracle you even got a radio station here. Hey, but I'll tell you who did it. I'll magnify Him. It's God that put it on the air and it's kept it on the air. And I'll give you a secret if you won't tell nobody. The devil can't do nothing about it. Hallelujah. Back then I got discouraged the radio. Now, I'll be honest with you, if I had an enemy, I'd pray to God, let him start a radio station. That'd be a good way to get even with him. I would. And I thought to myself, I said, I'm going to get out of this. I'm going to sell my stations. I'm going to quit carrying this burden. I'm just tired of it. But you know, I've been refired. And I'm going to tell you, a grizzly bear of rabies couldn't get my stations away from me. I'm excited, man, about what God's doing. And I just thank Him. And look, you get to thanking God for your blessings instead of grumbling about that you don't have. And I tell you, God will magnify Himself. Amen.
Amen.
Many times you ladies, I understand. Man, you think, Lord, we can't get ahead. We can't get any money. And every time we do, we have to do this and do that. And you know, it's hard on ladies sometimes. Harder on, I didn't realize that until I got married. But it's harder on these ladies than it is on men. My wife's about like your wife, Brother Williamson. Amen. Every time we get pictures hung on the wall, it's time to move somewhere else. And we don't know where we're going. Amen. And I don't know where we're going. Amen. I'm just following God. I asked her the other day, I said, you happy with me? She said, yeah. I said, you ain't sad you married me? She said, no. I said, I've drug you all over the country. I don't know where I'm going to be next. Amen. But I know this. Amen. Did you know if we thank God for what we do have, instead of that we don't have, God will be magnified by that. You ought to magnify. Now, I'm not talking about going into a restaurant. And Brother Shepherd, can you imagine him doing this? He'd walk in the door down here in one of these restaurants and his wife with him. He'd say, now, ladies and gentlemen, could I have your attention, please? Me and my wife's going over here to eat a steak. And as we do, we're going to bow our heads and she's going to say the blessing. Now, would y'all bow your head while she'd kill him? Amen. I'm not talking about something like that. I'm not talking about interrupting the whole restaurant. But I'm going to ask you a question. When you go into a place to eat, do you thank God for your food at the table?
Amen.
You know, it's easy if you got church people with you, but let's say you got some businessmen with you from your company. Do you take time to bow your head and give God thanks?
Amen.
Several years ago, my granny had hogs. In case y'all don't understand it, young people, that's where pork chops and ham and all that comes from. You understand?
Amen.
It don't come from the grocery store in the freezer. It comes from a hog, okay? I mean, it does, but it has to get there. But you'd take them in the fall of the year, you'd go out there and you'd get those acorns into 5-gallon buckets, you'd pour them in that hog pen. And them hogs would come out there. That's the way they do. And they'd eat them. Do you know them hogs never even looked up to see who was pouring them acorns in? God's blessed old America. I mean, we got cell phones, internet, computers. We got cars that'll do 100 miles an hour. Amen. We got things, good interstate highways, everything you can think of, good doctors. Amen. I guess good medicine. I don't know about that. But I mean, we've got good things. And yet, I believe, honestly, we are more unthankful in this day. And if you want to really magnify Him and get something going, I tell you, begin to thank God for all God's done for you, and you'll have a spell every once in a while. Now, number four, let me give you this one. Did you know magnifying God, did you know that taking the end, that you can magnify God by nearness? James chapter number 4 says, draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you. You see, you can tell when somebody has been with God. Amen. You can tell when a preacher's preaching in the Holy Ghost. Did you know that? Why, sure you can. Did you know a lot of preaching is not in the Holy Spirit of God? Now, anybody get up. I like what he said this morning. Anybody can put an outline together. Well, my wife probably put together a better outline than I can. She ain't going to. She does. She ain't going to preach it around me. Amen. And but I'm going to tell you this right now. You can put all the outlines together you want to, and I'm not against that. Well, I mean, I use them, but that's good. But I'll tell you right now, we've got to have that nearness of God and that touch of God, and God's got to be magnified, and He is magnified when you draw near to Him.
That's right.
Now, you're sitting here this morning, you say, boy, my wife sure does need to be drawn near to the Lord. No, what about you?
Right.
You said you'd think, well, boy, if my husband would get near God. Wait a minute, what if you'd get near God?
Right.
Why don't you start first getting near God? Don't matter. You know, in a marriage, if you're not careful, I've learned this about it. You know, if you ain't careful, both parties say, well, it's the other one that needs to do this or that.
Right.
Why don't you just do something?
Right.
You say, boy, if my kids would just get near God. No, your kids need a mom and daddy that's near God.
Right.
Amen. Both the mom and daddy near God. What if your kids got near God? Amen.
Right.
I'm amazed at the young people. Amen. I had a little young man in here this morning. Trying to think of your name, son. I believe it was Josh. I believe he said his name was. He come up and he said, I've been wanting to meet you. I said, how old are you, boy? He said, 12 years old. I found out he's born in September. I said, man, you are a smart fella. Everybody's born in September is intelligent. Amen. I'm telling you right now. Amen. I don't know about these fellas born other months. Amen. But September is smart. But here's the deal. I'm talking about magnifying Him, glory to God, by getting. Did you know, I'm going to show you something. God's up here in heaven. You're saved by grace. Did you know now I'm like Brother Williamson. I don't know about this crowd that gets out here and says, well, I've been saved for 20 years. They can shack up and cuss and drink and fight and raise the devil and God never do anything to them. I don't know about that. Because where I come from, I never got a whipping in my life. I got some whoopings. Y'all know what I mean? My daddy didn't believe in psychology. My daddy didn't believe in time out. I tried that one time. I tried it. I said, Daddy, can I pray before you whip me? He said, go right ahead, son. I prayed. When I got done, you say, what happened? He beat the devil out of me. Amen. That didn't work either. But let me tell you something. But I will say this. You can be saved and walk far away from God and Him not be magnified enough. Now, God's up here. And you're here. But when you take a step to God, God takes a step toward you. You take another step toward God, God take a step to you in your life. I'm talking about getting near to Him.
Right.
You take another step, God take another step. And before long, you know you'll meet in the middle, and man, you're going to have the glory come down. Amen? And that you got to make the effort to magnify Him by drawing near to Him. Amen? Now, ain't it just a joy to live near God?
Yes, it is.
Now, you know, me and my wife, we're together all the time, and we talk about a lot of stuff. We're close. We really are. You wouldn't think we are. We are. We're really close. As a matter of fact, we're probably too close. If something happened to one of us, it'd probably kill the other. We are together all the time. But you know the way you find out about a person? You talk to them.
Yeah.
And praise God, listen, if you want to know something about God, you talk to Him. We was talking about old Percy Ray last night.
Yeah.
Old Brother Ray walked with God.
Yes.
Many years ago down in Middle Mississippi, there was a young evangelist went down there. and he wanted to find Brother Ray. And they said, well, he's over here in this room. And that young evangelist went barging in that room, and Brother Ray was laying there talking to God, and that young evangelist said, Brother Ray, I'm here. Could you show me where to put my stuff? Brother Ray never answered him. And in a few minutes, that young evangelist heard Brother Ray telling God, he said, Dear God, would you forgive this young man for interrupting mine in your conversation? Did you know there used to be some saints of God, and they probably still are today, that God's as real to them as their mama, their daddy, their brother, their sister? I tell you, when God becomes a person to you and not just somebody that you come and talk about on Sunday, I don't want to know about God. I want to know God. And you can know Him. I want Him to be magnified by nearness, and people will know that God's in your life. Amen. If you walk near to God. When I die, about right now, they're gathering right now in the home church of Rhonda Baptist Tabernacle, Rhonda, North Carolina. They're gathering right now. About 30 minutes, they're going to lay my aunt to rest. You say, why aren't you there? Well, I'm here doing the Lord's work. And I also felt like the roads might not be good enough to go back yesterday. So that I talked to the sons. I said, it's all right. Don't think I'm a heathen. I love my aunt. I sure did. Don't know if she's saved or not. But her testimony, I do not know that. But I'm going to tell you something right now, friend. One of these days they're going to lay me down from church aisle. And praise God, the pea's going to be with God, but the pod's going to be laid down there. Mm-hmm. And what I want said about me, well, he might not have been good looking. He may not have been too smart. He might have talked pretty fast. But there's one thing he did. He walked with God and magnified God. I'd rather have that said about me than anything in this world. Amen.
That's right.
Amen. Now, I got to hurry. Number five. Wherever number five is here, I want to tell you number five, we can magnify God. You know, when I came to the letter I, you know what I wrote down right there? I just wrote down the letter I. I can magnify God. You're sitting there, preacher, how can mortal man magnify God? I'm going to show you. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what he said? He said, I want you to take care of some things in this world before you leave out of here. I want your spirit to magnify God. I want your soul, that's your life, to magnify God. And by the way, before you put Brother Roloff down to some foreign country, he said, I want your body to magnify God. Brother Roloff wrote writing a lot of stuff he preached. I mean, some stuff, you know, but I'm going to tell you this. He had some good wisdom behind some of that. He had some good wisdom. I've heard people make fun of him. I have. But I tell you right now, he knew what he's talking about as far as the body. And I tell you right now, the reason we're as sick as we are, we don't eat like we ought to.
Yep.
Amen. You know it and I know it. I got cholesterol over 300 right now. Doctor told me there's enough grease in me to conduct the oil change. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something right now. I want to magnify God with my body and my spirit and my soul. But I was reading that this morning, Brother Shepherd, and noticed something. Now, every word in the Bible is important, and every place that God put that word is important. And did you know God put the spirit first?
Uh-huh.
I never thought of it. You see, if your spirit's out of whack, your soul won't be right as far as this life. I'm not talking about saved in heaven, but I'm talking about your life won't be right. Did you know if your spirit's out of whack, your body won't be right? Did you know that? Our spirit, you know, now by the way, I believe man ought to dress right and look right and spit white line. I believe what he is preaching. Amen? I took one draw one time off them Marlboros or whatever them things was. I must have got the wrong end, Brother Williamson. I mean, one draw, and it made me dizzy, boy. Amen. I couldn't handle that mess. Amen. I know what he's... By the way, before you say anything, I was drinking my daddy's beer when I was 8 years old. But thank God when God saved me. That's the awfulest tasting slop I ever tasted in my life. I don't know how in the world anybody want to drink that stuff. Amen. I mean, I'd rather drink coffee than drink it. Now, I know y'all like coffee. I'm not putting coffee on that level. Somebody asked me the other day, said, what do you drink coffee? You really want to see me talk fast, don't you? Praise God. I could ID that station in 2 millimeters of a second flat. Amen. All them drinking coffee. Amen. But hey, right here's the deal. I'm telling you, you can magnify the Lord by eye. Amen. You've got three things you can magnify the Lord with. Your spirit, your soul. Make Him bigger to this world.
Amen.
I'm not talking about being a Pharisee. I just feel this for just a minute. We got to go. But let me help you. But I'm going to help you. I got to help you about this right here. This is what I want to... Your spirit. Magnify God in your spirit. Our spirit is so out of control. Now let's just face it, don't get religious. We've all got a temper, don't we? And we all get sideways every once in a while. You know, I had a preacher, I ain't going to tell you who he is because he's well known. I don't believe what he said. He said, I've been married for 22 years and me and my wife have never said a harm word to each other. I started asking what they do, live in different houses. I mean, I just don't understand. I mean, you know. But here's the deal. We all say things we ought not say. And you know something. You know why? Because we're in the flesh. But I'll tell you one thing. We don't magnify God when we go to the Cracker Barrel and beat the biscuit on the table and tell the waitress how hard it is.
Right.
We don't magnify God and we go out there and say, hey, lady, I found this in my food and you sorry rascal, you ought to do this and that. We can say things nicer than we say them.
Right.
You might forget that lady, you might preach to her down the road somewhere.
Right.
I'll tell you this story I told on the radio and I'm trying to hurry, I'm going to wrap this thing up and get done here. Amen. We got the food, the cooking and the amen things, and I know y'all tired and wanting to go home. Amen. I got Father gold, you do. Amen. But right here's the deal. I'm going to tell you this. I told it on the radio the other day, and I felt so bad about it. I was coming out of Mississippi. My wife, you know, was down there. We were down there seeing her people. I was pastoring in Allegheny County, North Carolina, and Sparta, North Carolina. And Sparta's so little that come to Sparta, thank you for coming, and entering Sparta's on the same sign. I mean, it's just little. It's a little spot in the road. And everybody knows everybody in that town. I mean, everybody knows everybody in there. And I was coming back, and we got all the way back to Sparta. Chris said, we need to stop over here at the Walgreens and get your medicine. I said, yeah, we need to stop over there. We pulled in that drive through and I was tired, and she was tired. Chris said, that woman said, what name? And you know, them little drive through them speakers, half time, you can't hear on them anyhow. And Chris said, Ricky Cothran. And that woman said, Ricky Cochran. And she goes, pecking on that computer. Chris said, no, ma'am, not Cochran, it's Cothran. Cochran. Tip, she just kept doing it. They went around about three times. And I about like Ronnie Simpson. It got to crawling. It got right here and it come on up here. Here's a crawling. And I, there's something inside me said, don't do it. And I'm going to do it. And that woman said, Cochran. And about the time she said that, I snapped. And I reached over Christy into that speaker and I said, Cothran, Cothren. And the Holy Ghost said, you shouldn't have done that. And by the time he said that, my wife went wham and hit me in the ribs and said, Ricky, that was uncalled for. And I'm sitting there thinking, there's an echo in this car. And I'm sitting there, and then I sit back and see Ricky's, Chris looked at me and she said, Ricky, you pastor in this town. You got more sense than that. You know better than that. I sat down and I thought, I didn't say to him, I thought, I don't need you to tell me that. God's already ringing my number. And the Holy Ghost is saying, you pastor in this town, boy. There ain't no sense in that. You know better than that. Oh, Lord. I thought that woman's going to go tell 20 people and 20 more. There ain't 20 in the whole town. I thought she's going to tell them, hey, won't nobody ever come to church, you know. And that woman come back. And you know what I did? I drove off and said, I got you. No, I didn't. I looked in that little speaker. I said, hey, lady. She said, yes, sir. I said, I owe you an apology, ma'am. I said, she said, well, you don't owe me no apology. I didn't think nothing about that. I said, ma'am, I am sorry. I said, I pastor in this town. Can I tell you this? The spirit in which you conduct yourself. Hey, man, you better magnify God with your spirit, your soul, and your body.
Amen.
I tell you, this ain't going to get no farther than this anyway. You say, why do you tell stories? It'll help you. I'm preaching the Bible now. I'm still preaching the Bible. Amen. I'm giving you the Bible. I'm giving you things that'll help you. Me and my wife had just moved to Allegheny County. You'd be surprised how people ruin their testimony with their spirit.
Yeah,
you know
what? Right.
Yes. We moved into Allegheny County. We just had moved there. Been there and I was trying to start a church. This had started Mountaintop Baptist Church. I mean, this had got it started. And our anniversary is on July the 20th. I was thinking about that, Brother Hall. Been married 51 years. You realize if I live to be married 51 years, I will be 91 years old. Now, she might make it. She's 10 years younger than me, and I just don't think I'm going to make it 91. I don't know if I will or not, but if I do, throw me a big party. Christy, amen, hallelujah. But anyway, but I moved into Allegheny County over there and went to the restaurant over there, Brother Shepherd. And I knew what I ordered, and I knew what she ordered. And we came out of that restaurant, and that little lady said, that'll be $12, please. And I get that money in my brains. $12? That ain't right. $12? No, that ain't right. That's got to be more than that. More like $25. That can't be $12. It can't be. And I got to the door and the Holy Ghost said, that ain't right. You better turn around. You better go back and straighten that out. I went back in there and I said, man, you could just see that woman. I mean, I'm blind, but you could just see the way she acted. She's like, that fellow's going to get on me over something. I said, ma'am, I need to talk to you. I said, you made a mistake. And boy, you could just see her. She drawed up in the knot. I said, ma'am, no, it's not like that. I said, you didn't charge me enough money. And she grabbed that ticket. She looked, she said, sir, you're exactly right. I forgot to put yours on there. In just a minute, I felt somebody tug on my shoulder. And the owner of the restaurant came out. He said to me, he said, sir, he said, I really appreciate you coming back. I said, sir, I'll tell you something. I said, I own a radio station in this town. Our ministry does. And I said, I started a church in this town. And I said, I'm not going to start out wrong by taking something that don't belong to me. And I'm going to tell you right now, you better make God big in front of a lost and dying world. You better make Him big, amen. You better, before you go down and fuss the banker out and the automobile mechanic out, you better make God big, my friend.
Amen.
I'm going to just give you these words. I'm done. Amen. 6 and 7. You magnify God by faith. Do you believe God? Why, sometimes some people ain't got enough faith to blow fuzz off peanut. You know? Man, you got... Now, I'm not talking about foolishness. Amen. Well, preacher, I quit my job and canceled my insurance. Well, you're crippled too high for crutches.
Yeah.
But faith. My wife was talking about this morning. We were talking about Brother Williamson. We were talking about you in a good way. Brother Williamson's touched my heart this week.
Amen.
That man lives by faith.
Yes, sir, he does.
I just don't know that I'd do what he's doing. He's going to get up in the morning. He's been feeling well. He's going to get up in the morning and go to Oklahoma.
Yeah.
He wouldn't tell you if he didn't have enough money to go to Oklahoma. Right. You'd never know nothing about it because I've been around him long enough to know that.
Yep.
Friend, that's living by faith, what he's doing.
Amen.
Now, I'm going to tell you, say, well, I don't know. He kind of hits everything. That's good. We need that. You just keep on hitting everything. Keep running them rabbits out and preach on them, brother.
Yeah.
Every time you run one out, grab it by the leg and skin it. Hallelujah. Yeah. Amen. You just keep on doing that. Hey! I like a man who lives by faith.
Amen.
Sometimes you'll run into somebody, oh, we think we're doing something, don't we?
Right.
We're kind of like that elephant. That flea was riding that elephant. And it walked across that bridge and shook that thing, Brother Shepherd. And they got done to the end of the bridge, and that flea reached down and whispered that elephant's ear and said, huh, we shook that, didn't we, big boy? Many times we think we're shaking the bridge. It ain't us, buddy. I'm going to tell you who's kept me in business all these years, Brother Hall. It's the Ruby Hills of the world and the Miss Holidays and the people like that, amen, that's sitting but prayers up for our ministry and prayed for us. It ain't Ricky Cotter. It's these 82-year-old Miss Hill all night long praying for my mama that she'd get better. That's the kind of people that's kept me in business all these years. I feel the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, if you want to magnify God, you have a little faith about things and you trust God every once in a while, amen. I mean, give every once in a while when you can't figure out how you're going to get it back, amen. I mean, just do what God tells you to do. Amen.
Amen.
Last thing, and I'm done. We magnify. We make Him bigger by yielding to Him.
That's right.
Did you know this ain't my life? Somebody said, well, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. Well, I've tried that. But I'm going to tell you what the best life you'll ever live is when you do exactly what the Holy Ghost tells you.
Right.
Hey, sir, last year I was pastoring a church. Last year I was in my comfort zone. I was living okay. I mean, I was fine. I'm living okay now. Matter of fact, I'm doing better since I quit pastoring. I was. But I'm sitting there, Brother Shepherd. You understand what I mean? I was comfortable. If you told me that a year ago today I'd be in Madisonville, Kentucky, preaching the Word of God, I'd have said, you're crazy.
Yeah.
But you want to know something? That's what God's told me to do.
Right.
If you told me I'd be living in Yadkin County, I'd have said, man, you have lost your mind.
Mm-hmm.
But you want to know something? I like where I live better than where I've lived in a long time.
Amen.
I'll tell you, when you yield to God and God's in it, it's like, you want to magnify God? There's some of you, you just ain't going to do what God's told you to do. You know why? You're counting the cost too much. Well, if I do this, it's going to cost me. If I do, let me tell you something. It's going to cost you far more if you don't do the will of God.
Right.
I didn't come here to be the pastor. I just come to help you. I'm just saying, if you want to magnify God, get yielded to the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
I met a man several years ago. He's in his 60s. He had a good job running a Christian school. He was secure. He is in his 60s. As far as I know, he's probably 80 years old now. And you know what he did? He went to the mission field working to support up in the prison ministry. And he's out in Washington State now in the prisons, probably 80 years old, and still doing a work for God. Back there for about 20 years, he gave up everything he had and went to mission field. I don't know what God's got in mind for me and Miss Christie. I got a feeling it's going to be in radio. I really do. The doors that's opening, I really believe God's going to... I've just gathered, like Paul said, that he wants us to go into Macedonia and help us. Amen. I figure that's what it is. Brother Hall said the other night, so we need to get our answers out of the Bible.
Amen.
I prayed about that verse, and that verse come to me, and I figured that's what God's wanting me to do. Sometimes you don't know, but you just go with God. But you know something? I want to yield to Him.
Amen.
Honest, the Lord knows that if God told me to do certain... Matter of fact, God told me to do something this morning. Me and my wife, and we're going to do it. We're going to do it. I talked to her about a while ago, and I told her, I said, Christy, God's told us to do something. You know what my wife said? It's fine with me.
Amen.
She's just cheery about it. She didn't give me no trouble. She didn't fuss about it. Ladies, do you fuss when your husband goes home and said, I believe I'll do this, and you just fuss a blue streak about it, and you're just mad about it? Listen, you want to magnify Him? You do what the Lord says.
Amen.
Fellow, you want to magnify God? You yield to Him. Amen? Well, preacher, I'm through. I don't know how long I took that time, but I really don't apologize. I just try to help somebody. Brother
Amen.
Shepherd, I count it an honor to be here, but I'm going to tell you one thing. He said this morning we started want to meet with God.
Amen.
And I've felt Him around here this morning. Is it all right to do this? Can we? I don't know. Do you give the invitation, or can I have somebody come play
yes,
on this piano? Let's have everybody stand, please. I don't go beyond the pastor. Let's have maybe the pianist come And we're just going to do this. We'll have your heads bowed and eyes closed. And as the pianist begins, just play some song. Just play something. And we're going to do it like this right here without any singing. Maybe you need to get around this altar this morning. You know, sometimes singing's good, but sometimes we get to singing and we'll miss the Holy Ghost of working on our hearts. You know what? And maybe right now is a good time for you to come say, God, I want to do what Brother Williamson said. I want my worship to be real.
Yes.
But then I want to magnify you and make you bigger in my life. Would you come? As pianist plays today, would you come? Heads bowed, eyes closed, just play. And if you need to come, you come. Would you do it right now? We're just going to wait. Amen. We're going to see what God does. We're going to see what God... We'll pray in a minute. We're going to see what God does. Would you come this morning? Would you come and say, dear God, work in my life. Make me a better Christian. I want to magnify you. Man, if we can just get some folk across America to say, dear God, I want to magnify you, we'd have revival in 6 weeks. You see, our problem in our churches across America, and by the way, Island Ford, you've got a great spirit here, but our problem across America is simply this. Simply this. There's people scratching their heads, preachers trying to figure out what's going on. Let me tell you what the deal is. The deal is we got nobody that's living close enough to the Lord to know the discernment of the Holy Spirit anymore. And we need people that will say, God, it's not my life. I want to magnify you through this life. I'm human like everybody else. And that little girl over there is my wife. I love her better than anything in this world. And I'd love to have that little girl a home by now and a place to live. And I mean, just built her the best house that money could buy. But you know, Jesus ain't seen fit for that. And I feel bad about it sometimes, and I feel ashamed of myself sometimes. But then I realize I'm doing the work of God. And I'm trying every day of my life to let God magnify Himself through me and Miss Christie. And she agrees with me, and I want to do that. I'd rather have the touch of God. I could lose anything else, but I don't want to lose the touch of God. Friend, maybe you're here this day and you're not saved by grace. You don't know what it means to be saved. Simply this. If the Lord's showing you that you're a sinner and you can't go to heaven without Him, you need to come and ask God to save you. You'll know when it's God. You can't go to heaven on some experience, some vision, some dream, some baptism. That ain't got nothing to do with salvation. The preacher's already said that. You say, preacher, it's getting late. You better believe it. It's the latest it's ever been. If you don't know the Lord, you ought to come get saved today. You ought to come right now. Don't wait. Listen, you say, preacher, I'll get saved tomorrow. You don't know you got the promise. You don't know you'll... I don't know that I'll ever get out of Madisonville, Kentucky. But if I don't, I'm going to heaven. Father, I'm honored Brother Shepherd would let me come. I thank you for this man of God and his wife and his family and their ministry down through the years. And I am absolutely overthrilled that you put him in this church. Lord, if there was a man in the United States of America that's supposed to go behind Brother Hall, I believe it's Brother Shepherd. Now I'm going to pray something for him and his family. I pray you'll fill him and touch him with the Holy Ghost every service that he preaches in this church. Now I'm going to lift WSOF, WAJJ, and the translator up to you. And all the radio work, and Brother Steve, and Miss Ruth, and Brother Josh, and all the people that work in the radio, I'm going to lift that up to you and ask you to do something. For 41 years, you've kept radio on in this area. Now, Lord, will you keep it on another 41 years? And Lord, I pray for it. I mean that. I pray for this church. I pray for Brother Williamson and his ministry. I pray fill him with the Holy Ghost in Oklahoma. And dear God, he probably never pastored a great large church, but I pray you'll give him one so big he can't handle it out there. Lord, I pray people just start coming, get saved, get saved, get saved. And Lord, and I pray for the people here. I pray for the radio audience today. I have you will your way in Jesus' name. Thank you.